open up our understanding. Give us the revelation. If we can get this revelation, we'll have a revelation of Christmas, a true revelation, which is not about just giving gifts, but it's about you giving the greatest gift ever given to anybody at any time. Everyone said amen. And Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, "Greetings, favored woman." This is a 15 or a 16-year-old kid. We wouldn't hardly let, can hardly get to drive at 15 or 16 years old. But I want you to think about what I'm telling you tonight, because this isn't a fairy tale. This isn't something that somebody made up to do a movie. This is an account of how God's only begotten Son got to earth, and he used ordinary, extra middle class, ordinary people to do it. And he says to this little teenager, "You are, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you." Verse 29, and confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." I think God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And if he's going to put favor on people, he might put favor on them where they're very young. He put favor on the prophet Samuel when Samuel was just a little bitty fella being raised in the temple. Hannah's child, given to Eli the high priest to raise and to do. She promised, "God, if you'll give me a child, I'll give that child back to you. If you'll give me a son, I'll give it back to you." And all the days of his, let me tell you, there was no greater prophet than that prophet, Samuel. When he would come into a village, they would send people out and say, "Do you come in peace?" Because let me tell you, he had the power to do whatever, and certainly to carry out. And he was honored, he was respected, and he was a man of God. And when he was just a little child, God began to tell him things about his surroundings and about who he was going to be. And every bit that he said to Samuel, as you read the account, came to pass, what God said. And I think when we look at our kids, Kelly just told us this past Sunday how she got saved when she was 7 years old. Now, look here, when I went out there, before I could get to her and I saw her there kneeling, I knew this was not any ordinary day. This was not any ordinary meeting. Something was happening, and I just went along with it. "What's up, Kelly? What's happening?" And we just prayed. And as I watched her grow up, I watched her become the person she is now. And I had no trouble laying hands on her to be the pastor of this church for this phase. And you that are here, you know that's true. You know it, and many more. We're changing this city. We're changing the world. Can I tell you something? I've never been afraid to dream big and see big and do big. Okay? I have seen. Mary's told us, as often as I've asked her to, I pointed at that water trying to flood our building again for I don't know how. And I said, "You're going back. You stop and go." And it went back. I'm going to tell you what I saw. I began to see it probably 20 years ago. I saw Trinity Broadcasting Network's mobile unit in our parking lot. They were trying to find out what in the world. There is a move happening here. I believe that. Make no mistake, whenever I get up and speak, my purpose that God has given me is that you would be inundated with and move in the Holy Spirit. Because without the Spirit of God, we're just a Moose Lodge or just another American whatever. But see, in a real church, the Spirit of God is there moving and living and working through people. Just like Samuel, people. Just like Mary. And I'm going to pick up at verse 29. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. His name will be Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never, never end." And Mary asked the angel, "Now wait a minute, sir. I'm just a kid. How can this happen? I'm a virgin." And they could have changed that word there and said, well, that means handmaiden. But then she took it a little farther to explain what she said. "This is what I mean, sir." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." Now, what had happened was, she said, the King James language says, "I've never been with a man. I've never had relationship with anybody." And then he explained this. And this has only happened once in the creation of man that we understand. And it happened through little Mary, long ago, 15, 16 years old, already knew her heart, already knew what kind of a woman she was going to be, already knew what kind of a mother she was going to be. She was going to be just the mother that God the Father wanted for his son. While Jesus was here, he asked, "What is a soul worth? What would a man give in exchange for his soul?" God the Father said, "I'll give my only son." So when you hear John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son," you know, if you've ever had a child, there's a depth of understanding I don't understand, where God would give his own son. He was so determined and desirous to redeem his creation, redeem you and me. By the way, salvation is perfect in every way. Jesus becomes your Savior. Jesus becomes your forgiver, even after you ask Christ into your life. And in just a moment, we're going to take communion. And we're told in communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if there's sin in your life, you need to deal with it. You need to confess it. You need to ask the Savior. See, what happens, what you get when you get a Savior, you get somebody, your own priest, high priest, your own public defender in heaven. And whatever, girls, please do me a favor. Please don't talk. I don't want to have to get your dad over here. Is that okay? Yes or no? Okay. Oh. Everything is okay. I just want everybody to get this. And I just have a few minutes to do it. So here we are. We have this treasure in temporary bodies. We're just temporary people. Jesus said, most people won't take what I have to offer. They won't take it. They'll reject it. They'll reject it by never addressing that in this life. But we have, when you have Jesus as your Savior, how many would, by the raising of your hand, would say, Jesus is your Savior? See your hands. What that means is this. Jesus is your continued forgiver in this life until you get to heaven. And then what is he going to do? Well, the scripture says in the New Testament, he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints, for the children. That ever liveth means to me, he's going to be the same thing to me up there as he is to me down here. Only it's going to be different because we're going to have that glorified body like him. Will we still be free moral agents to make choices that we? Yes. Will we still need to be forgiven at times? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, now we know one thing. Satan won't be here anymore to tempt you, to get other people to raise against you or to lust or lure you, get you into, he won't be around anymore. But we'll still be free moral agents. And if I get my way, I'm going to tell you what I see. Jesus is my Savior and my forgiver forever from now on. I don't want to change any of that personally. And I love him. I've never known anybody kinder than the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, more interested in us. And Mary, could you put up verse 34 in the King James language where we're at here? I think it would be beneficial. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I've never been with a man in that way. I've never. Okay. Now give me verse 35 back in the NLT, and we'll just take it from there. And then Gabriel, the angel, replied and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Now, I want to say something about the language here. The Holy Spirit, here is his answer as how this was going to happen, is going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. There's another place in the Word that it talks like this. In the book of Exodus, I believe chapter 40, when it talks about the tabernacle. The tabernacle that was made by man's hand. And the Holy Spirit came and hovered over it in the same likeness, in the same way. It's the same thing. And filled that tabernacle with his presence. That's what happened to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And people try to take that away from her, from how important she is. You know how what God does? He's so subtle. There's only one other place, one other sentence that mentions Mary in the whole Bible. But let me tell you something. We wouldn't be here today without her saying what she says before I'm through reading. Follow me. What's more, verse 36, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. This is John the Baptist's mother he's talking about. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail. You look at me just for a minute. I'm telling you, the word of God is living, and it will not fail you ever, ever, ever. And what the Bible says that you are, and the Bible says what you can have, and the Bible says where you're going, and the Bible says I'll forgive you, That's just the way it is. If you're going to believe that there's a God. I'm going to tell you, the last time I had this experience, Sherry, was when I shared Brandon's funeral with everybody. I had this experience. I just had a revelation like I've never had before of Mary. And I just feel confident we're going to a good place. For the word of God, verse 37, never fails. It never fails. What that means is, as you know the word, as you put the word in you, as you live by the word, man shall not live by bread alone. You can't be happy just by having the right car, the right house, and something good to eat. My gosh, when Freddie Prinze killed himself years ago, he was the star of Chico and the Man, a little show. He killed himself. Pow. I said, God, I was younger then. How could that be? He had everything. He said, no, I didn't have everything. He didn't have everything. He didn't have me. Until you get Jesus in your life, what you have don't really matter. Because whatever it is you got besides that, when you die, whatever that was, it ain't going with you. Many years ago, I don't want to mention the kid's name because many of you know him, but he asked me, and he was serious. He said, Brother Angelo, do you think I could take my Jeep to heaven with me? You think that's possible? I said, no, I don't. Are you crazy? So Mary's response was this. All of a sudden, he tells this teenager what's going to happen to her. And she's never been with a man. Now think about this, ladies. And it doesn't say that she knew Gabriel well. I think she just met him this one time. And Mary responded, and this is what Mary said. May everything you have said about me come true. I'm open. What was this? If this was, this is at least part of why the angel was there. Because if she would have said, I'm sorry, I'm not into that. I can't, it would have never happened. But let me tell you, God the Father knows who to speak. Who to call, who to speak. I remember one time I had a situation when God was trying to teach me about spiritual things and I had a vision. I said, God, no. I just screamed. I said, please. It was just too much for me. I don't have time to share it now. But and he prepared me for a few months after that and said, hey, I've got things I want to do with you and you've got to, there's something that you're going to have to let me do inside of you. And I finally said, well, okay, Lord, all right. Well, that experience came to me again. And he was saying, while this was happening, he said, Angelo, remember, you said this was okay. I said, yeah, Lord. And I had the most amazing experience I've ever had. I've only had it once. I'll share it at another time. But be it as you have said to me. So she's introduced in the book of Isaiah, where we started out in chapter 7 and verse 14. Right here where we just read is the most that she's talked about and reported in the Bible. And then there's one more place, the last place we're going tonight, Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1, and I'm going to read quickly. And you're going to be, how many of you are blessed? How many of you feel the Lord? He wants you to feel him. He's a person. Starting at verse 1, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, who was not a Jew, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of heaven. Once he was eating with them, and he commanded, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit." All right? So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" Verse 7, he replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. And they are not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." I guarantee you, for all of you that know and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you know what that's talking about. For those of you that don't, you will know if you come close enough to God. "And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up. Jesus was taken up into a cloud while they were watching. They could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them and said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." And then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, about a half a mile away. When they arrived, they went to upstairs to an upper room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those that were in that room: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's the last place she's spoken of in the Bible. I believe in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there was a mighty rushing wind that came in, and they all spake in tongues as the Spirit gave. I believe Mary was there. I believe the child she birthed baptized her with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. These are just some Christmas thoughts that I had. I love you. Let's examine our hearts. Let's ask Jesus to help us to have the best Christmas ever. Let's be real with the Lord Jesus.